You know, 2 weeks ago, Isaac shared the message, and one of the first things that he asked us was, he asked us, what is the first thing that pops into your mind when you think of the word Christmas? Remember that? You remember he said he asked us to do that? Well, I'd like to report to you that the first thing that popped into my head was Jesus, but it wasn't. And I have an idea, I'm not the only one. What did pop into my mind is what we see so much in society and so much in culture and so much in everyday living. What popped into my mind was the right jolly old elf. I'm ashamed to say that, but that's what popped into my mind first. And I think it's partly because of what we see around us. And so I've been thinking about this for the last couple of weeks. And you know, if you've driven by here any time the last couple of weeks, that our sign has said Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, that's a catchy little phrase. That's a cute little slogan. But what does it mean to us? I was listening to Christian radio the other day, and I heard a lady on there. And I didn't get to hear her long because I was just going from here to there, somewhere close. But I did hear very specifically what she said. You know, we talk about Jesus as the reason for the season, and that's wonderful, that's good. But she said, Jesus is the reason, period. Okay? Jesus is the reason, period. For this season and every season. And this day and every day. And so I've been thinking about these things, and if you were here last Sunday, you remember I closed with the question, when our children and our grandchildren and even us as adults see what we see in society and are bombarded TV, commercials, papers, magazines, whatever, for 6.5 days, we're bombarded in our mind with all the stuff. Flying reindeer, Frosties and Rudolphs and of course Santas and all this stuff. I asked us to think last week as I close, how can we expect our children to be anything but confused when for 6.5 days we are bombarded with other stuff? I call it competition for Jesus. How can we expect our children to be anything but confused at what is the real meaning of Christmas? And so I heard a Pew Research study just the other day. And the Pew Research is a pretty good foundation that asks questions and takes survey around the country quite often. And they ask lots of Americans, lots of them, about December and about this Christmas holiday. And 50% said it has no connection with religion. It's just a holiday. And so when I think of these things, I wonder, brothers and sisters, is this holiday celebration about Jesus or something else? 50% say it's something else. At least 50% say it's something else. And so I get a little concerned about that because I don't like to water down Jesus. I don't like to water down the gospel. And I'm not here, I told the first service, I'm not here to demonize or criminalize or anything else, or even say like Ebenezer Scrooge, bah humbug on your Christmas. But I get a little bit concerned when 50% say, nah, this ain't about religion or anything else. It's just a holiday. And I told you this a couple of weeks ago. I'm so thankful that we have a chance to minister to 90 or 100 kids on Awana every Wednesday night. There's 120 of them signed up, and we get to minister to 90 to 100 of them every Wednesday. And yet we have encountered little children that didn't know Jesus' birth was celebrated at Christmas. They'd never been told that. Well, there's something about Christmas, but it ain't that. And that's concerning to me. And so, I've been wondering, and I'm wondering out loud now, I've been wondering for these weeks and for a lot of years actually, I wonder how did we go in America and Western civilization from the birth of the Almighty to the right jolly old elf? And I did a study on that. Matter of fact, if you were here in December 2008, you heard my conclusion on that. Anybody here in 2008? December 2008? Some of you remember then my sermon titled, Jesus or Santa Claus? And I give us the history. How did we arrive at this? And I told us about this Saint Nick. He wasn't a saint. He was just a guy by the name of Nicholas back in 4th century AD. He was a good man. He became a bishop. He died and they crowned him saint. And there was a Saint Nicholas Day for hundreds of years. There still is. Almost 1,700 years. But over the hundreds of years, we began to evolve from this good man who actually did things. He actually slipped in unawares to poor people's houses and slipped them a gold coin or something to buy food for their kids. He actually did that. And over the hundreds of years, we've evolved from this Saint Nicholas, to Saint Nicholas, to Santa Claus. If you look up and you go to a search engine in your computer and go on Wikipedia or anything else, and you look up Santa Claus, you'll see something like this. Santa Claus, also known as Saint Nicholas, also known as Father Christmas, also known as Kris Kringle. And if you read down there through enough, you'll find that in 1823, a man by the name of Clement Clark Moore wrote a poem in December, and the poem was entitled, A Visit from St. Nicholas. And in that poem, his cartoonist, to illustrate the poem, began to draw this right jolly old elf. And so from 1823, we began to evolve about St. Nicholas Day and this idea of St. Nicholas coming on Christmas Eve. And then in 1934, we had the song in America, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and well, the rest is history. And so we've been evolving away from the birth of the living God to something else. You can read all kinds of stuff about Santa Claus in your search engines. But some of the things that we think about, I just wonder, and I'm asking myself this week, friends, this season, probably I do every season, I don't know, is the emphasis today in America on the birth of the Savior or something else? And when we see the results of a Pew research, we start to realize it's starting to get to be, and it's not starting, it's moved to something else. And so I hope and I pray that in the church it's other than something else. And I said at first service, and it needs to be said again, I'm so thankful to our Awana commanders and our Awana team who intentionally for the last 2 weeks have made Awana about the birth of Jesus at Christmas time and not something else. And so I'm very thankful for that. And as you drill down, we're going to get to Scripture in a minute, so just bear with me. I'll get off my soapbox in a minute. As we drill down into the competitions at these most holy of events, we know and we realize that it is in fact a ploy of the adversary, who after all, the Bible said, is more subtle than any other creature. It is the ploy of the adversary to put the emphasis on something other than the Christ at Christmas. We know who the author is, okay? That's easy to figure that out. It's not just us and our intelligence to evolve from Nicholas, to St. Nicholas, to Santa Claus. It's the adversary pulling our attention away from the Christ child, God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. It's the adversary pulling us off the centrality of Jesus and getting us off base someplace to the point that our children don't even know what December is about, don't even know what the event Christmas is really for in our own society. And so let me throw out to you a couple, three things before we look at Scripture. Number one, we put so much, I say we, society today, we put so much emphasis on the catchy little phrase, he knows who's naughty and nice. You've heard it, right? But friends, let me submit to you that Santa Claus is not omniscient. God alone is omniscient. You know what omniscient means? All-knowing. Nobody is all-knowing about who's naughty and nice but God alone. And yet, you see what we're doing? We're pinning on the right jolly old elf, omniscience. He knows everybody who's naughty and nice. He knows if you're going to get coal. He knows if you're going to get candy. We're pinning on him omniscience. He's all-knowing. We convey gift delivery in a single night to every home in the twinkling of an eye, to every boy and girl. We convey this message. And friends, Kris Kringle is not omnipresent either. There is one that is omnipresent. You still with me? You see how we move this vital, important things that God alone possesses. Omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. God alone is these attributes, and we begin to pin them on the right jolly old elf. We emphasize maybe even sending a letter off to the North Pole so we can get gifts. But God alone answers prayer. You see the similarities and the dangers? The adversary is clever to move our thinking in that direction. And so I just want to encourage us to be aware of the importance of God incarnate, to be aware of this holiday in the holy night, the silent night, the holy night that it is. Be aware that the adversary is deceptive and wants us to get off base, off of Jesus a little bit and put a little emphasis on something else. If you got your Bible, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 2 for a few minutes. Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 12. We looked at Matthew last week. I like Matthew because, especially for this Christmas event, Matthew, as I said last week, was a Jew himself, and he was speaking to Jews. He wanted them to see how important the prophecies of the Old Testament were in being fulfilled. And so Matthew uses a lot of prophecies. And he's in essence saying, see, this is what they said would happen, and it's happened. And so he does it again in Matthew chapter 2. A couple of points from Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. A bit alarming to Herod, who was the king in Jerusalem at the time. A bit alarming to him, because these messengers, these wise people, these magi, who had traveled who knows how long, had arrived in the central part of Israel. They had arrived in Jerusalem, and in coming to Jerusalem, they inquire, where is he who is to be born, who was born king of the Jews? We have seen his star, and we have come to worship him. And so first point I take away from this little verse from Matthew is, who and what do we worship at Christmas today? Jesus should not have to share the stage with Frosty or Rudolph or Santa. He should not have to share the podium with our man-made images. The wise men said, we are here for one reason. We've traveled. I don't know how long they've traveled. We really don't get that in Scripture, but a long time. And they said, we have come following the star for one reason, to worship Him. And I pray that's our intent this Christmas season, to worship Him, the living God and His Son, Jesus Christ. When Herod heard, the king heard this, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Herod knew there was a certain group of people that would know this answer. If there was to be a king of the Jews, he would get the religious rulers of the Jews and he would ask them, where's this kid to be born? And so they said to him, because they knew the prophets, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. They knew that. And so they said, Bethlehem is the answer. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And I wish we had more of that conversation, because they probably told him, we've been following it for this long. They probably did, but that's not recorded. And he sent them then, this is Herod of the wise men, he sent them to Bethlehem and he said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me and that I may come and worship him also. We know that's a lie because Herod didn't like competition either. He even had some of his family members killed. We know that he wanted to know where this Christ child, this king of the Jews was, so he could extinguish him. That's the reason he said, tell me where he's at too so I can come and worship him. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Why? Because they knew there was still a reason to worship. They knew their journey was almost complete. They were going to find the king and they were going to worship him. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I wonder today, friends, as they brought their best to Jesus, does he get our best at Christmas time or any time else? Does he get the best of our time or does he get the leftover time? Does he get the gold of my life or does he get the tin? They brought their best to this Son of God. May we bring our best to him, not only at Christmas but always. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own country another way. Friends, I've concluded this. If the celebration of the Christ child is to continue, people of God need to emphasize this story. If we just kind of bring in a little bit here or a little bit there, amidst all the rest of our joy and fun and ho, ho, ho and everything else, we're just confusing our kids. I'm not saying we can't have that kind of fun, but our children need to know the reason for Christmas. And if this story, the one that we've just read, we can read it from Luke or we can read it from Matthew, if this story is to continue, it's because people of God are going to emphasize this story. And if we don't emphasize this story, it won't be 50% soon. It'll be way, way less than 50% that says, nah, this December, this Christmas, that ain't about a religious holiday. If we don't emphasize this story, nobody else is going to either. If the church doesn't put the emphasis on the Son of God coming to earth, born of a virgin, like we talked about last week, laid in a manger, Shepherds rejoicing. If the church doesn't talk about this story and emphasize this story, then nobody else is going to either. And this story will go by the wayside along with all kinds of other stories. I'm reminded of the passage in Deuteronomy when Moses and the children of Israel had seen the 10 plagues. They'd seen basically 10 miracles in Egypt. They had seen the parting of the Red Sea. They had come to the promise. They had come. They're bound for the promised land. They're in the wilderness. They had seen the pillar by day, the cloud of fire by night. They had seen the hand of God. And God told Moses, and Moses said to them, "These words which I command you today shall be in your heart." He was talking about the commands of God, yes, but they're applicable for us today too. Here's what God said to Moses: "These commands shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates." And the message of Jesus is no less important. It is more important even than the Ten Commandments. And so he is saying to us yet today, talk about Jesus. Not just this season, but especially at this season when the competition is trying to water down and wash away Jesus. And so, friends, let me just give you a word of challenge to close. This gift from God, Jesus, that's a gift to humanity. Okay, we understand that, right? We understand that? If this gift from God, who is the Messiah, who is Emmanuel, God with us, who is the Christ, who is the Redeemer, who is the Savior, who is the propitiation, if this gift to humanity is left under the tree or on the altar at the fireplace, unopened and unreceived, it does us no good. Think for a moment of one thing that you would desire. Maybe when you were a kid, all you wanted that fire truck. Whatever. Maybe you were hard up like some of the rest of us and you're just hoping for a warm pair of socks. But think for a moment of that, oh boy, I'm just waiting to get this. Little boy is waiting for, I don't know what, fire truck. Little girl's waiting for that talking doll, I don't know what. Adults waiting for that new shotgun or that new Gucci purse. I don't know what we're waiting for. But that gift that you know is there, you know it's going to be there. But that gift, brothers and sisters, until we open it up and receive it, it does us no good. Oh, I know it's there. And all kind of folks can say, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But until we've received the gift, until we've received this gift of God as our Savior, until we've recognized that I am a sinner that needs a Savior, that's receiving Christ as Lord. Until we have done that, the gift is still in the manger, unused. Amen. And so at some point, every individual, if we are ever going to be part of the kingdom of God, has to receive the gift of God that is Jesus. At some point, we all will have to if we're going to be part of the kingdom of God forever. And if we do not receive the gift, it's still in the manger. It's still on the mantle. It's still under the tree, unopened. And so I'm wondering today, friends, for this Christmas season, have you received the gift? Have you really, really surrendered your heart and life to Jesus Christ as Lord? Father, thank you for this indescribable gift. Thank you that you were not willing to just leave us on our own. You sent your Son, the best gift we could ever think about, the best gift we could ever have, the best gift we could ever receive. And it's through faith, a surrendered faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord, is how we are born again, reborn in our spirit, how we become part of your family. And today and this season, Father, I pray that people are not only celebrating Jesus, but I pray that people are coming to know Jesus as baby, yes, but Messiah and Lord this Christmas season. And so, Father, maybe there's folks in our family. Maybe there's folks in our churches. Maybe there's folks in our community that know about you, even know about your Son, even recognize that Christmas is a holiday about you, but they've never opened the gift. They'd never received Christ as Lord. Father, we pray today, this season, that that would happen millions of times over in America and around the world. We pray that people will recognize it's just not head knowledge about, yeah, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, I believe that they were real, but it's a receiving of this gift by faith to be born into your kingdom, to be born in our spirit. Father, thank you for everybody here. I pray that you would help them to have a very blessed Christmas season, a very blessed Christmas week. Maybe part of it will include Tuesday night singing and worshiping you here, but if it doesn't, I pray that they would just have a great Christmas week. Together with family, friends, traveling, whatever it is, I pray that there would be plenty of time to bow and worship, just like the wise men did, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even Jesus. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.